to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
It's a warm welcome to everyone. It's episode 460 of Aussie Tech Heads, and this week is the 22nd of October. And I'll tell you, the cricket must be starting soon, eh? When's that? The 5th of November? I think it's an early start in November for the cricket this year.
Why is that?
I don't know. I like early starts, though. It's good.
I think they just want more money.
Yes. Well, just hold on there. We can talk about that in a minute, but we must thank athwebhosting.com.au, who provide all our bandwidth for the show. When you download it through iTunes or download it, maybe not through YouTube, but we have to upload it to YouTube, whatever we do, ATH Web Hosting sorts it all out, looks after it all. So if you're looking for an Aussie web space on Aussie servers, jump into athwebhosting.com.au. Now, let's introduce who we've got here tonight. No Warlock again this week. He will be needing a note for sure when he comes back. But this week we've got Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Hello, gentlemen.
What's going on with you?
A lot and not much.
Good. Excellent.
That makes sense.
You started your renos.
The wall comes down next week. How do you know about my renos?
I've got a camera.
Oh, good.
So you weren't supposed to tell him about that. We're making money from that.
Yeah. And that one is Will. How you doing, Will?
Hey, mate.
What have you been up to?
Well, I've been busy, actually. This has probably been my last podcast for a few weeks because our kid's due next week. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
No excuse.
That's right. No excuse.
No. It depends how
good. Good luck with that, Will. No, seriously, don't be compelled to come on, seriously.
Well, my son's going to be in hospital for probably at least 2 to 4 weeks, and the baby's going to be in for at least 2. But
why so long?
What? Yeah, 4 weeks.
Preterm. It's an early delivery, so it's all under control.
How early?
35 weeks.
Mm.
So, she might be a bit longer, mate. The baby will be in. Sonia might get out earlier, but the baby they'll tend to put in until the full 42 weeks.
Mm. They reckon they'll see how it goes. They reckon he'll only be in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, why do they think it's going to come early?
He's already 8 pound.
Ooh, dear, oh dear! Get that sucker out!
Yeah, pretty much.
Hell,
so, yes. All right,
but so I'll be pretty much home overnight. Yes. So we'll see how things go. If I'm not completely exhausted, I'll be on. But yeah.
No worries.
It's actually potentially my last podcast for a few weeks. So
play it by ear, Will. You might be looking for a break.
Well, yeah.
And when you come home, you may want to sleep, my friend.
Yeah. And yes, we'll give you a good excuse to get away anyway. All right.
Don't sleep.
Yeah. How's your sleep going?
Well, it goes away regularly.
Right. Cool. All right. Okay. Now, where are we up to? Look. What was I talking about? Oh, look, last week we had a story about the, what was it, the Big Apple Buddy or something. You buy your stuff over in the US and they'll send it to you so you can have a US address. Look, we had a email this week from Rennie who said, have a look also at priceusa.com.au for shopping in the USA. So check that one out as well. All right. Yes, so no Warlock, so we're going to get straight into a story. Let's have a look at... Oh, look, a malware Apple story. Now, look, a couple of years ago, you wouldn't find those two words in the same sentence. But now, you do.
That's because they're more popular.
Exactly. That's right. That's what's going on. A 10-week-long study of 1,400 unique OSX malware samples found that the number of instances in 2015 alone is 5 times greater than the previous 5 years combined. Old Jobsy, turning over. The researchers credit this to Apple's growth in success. Researchers observed most of the malware leveraging one of 7 distinct persistence technologies in order to remain active on a system including launch agents, launch daemons, cron job, login items, browser plugins, startup items, and binary infection. I've got no idea about any of that. But
not for a person having a binary infected.
No.
And if anyone wants to ring in and explain that to us, don't.
Yeah, I think you can get tablets, or it might be a cream. So,
oh no, you got to use a tablet.
Is that better? you pop them somewhere special.
That's it.
All right. Now, look, you might know, if you're on a PC, you might know a good program to get rid of malware is Malwarebytes. Now, I think it's, what, $39 a year you can put on the three machines. You can actually now get this on the Apple as well. And although I serviced an Apple through the week, heaven forbid, but I did.
Oh, good God.
Oh, I know. It was only after I had fixed the PC. They go, well, I've got this Apple machine. Can't open Safari. Keeps on doing
what
crap.
What year was it? 1997?
What was that when I serviced
the Apple?
No, it was a good one. It was a late one. Apparently her son had he was playing a game and had some fit of rage, and he punched the screen, but he didn't break the glass. He broke the membrane under it, and it still looked like a splat.
Well, yeah. I think that the son needs a good clip over the ear to make him splat. What an idiot.
Well, yeah, so now that they've got it's a laptop, so now they're using it on an external monitor. So, you know, good luck to them. But anyway, the whole point of the story was that, yes, I downloaded Malwarebytes for Mac, and it's free. There's no way you can pay for it. There's no thing there, so it must be some sort of beta version, but it worked. I ran it. It worked in like about 3 seconds. There must be one spot where malware sits on a Mac. But, yeah, it worked. So check that one out.
I'll do it right.
Where do you download? Okay, you can download that from malwarebytes.com. How's that for a live answer to a question?
There you go.
Oh, no, they want the child to get his own computer and don't tell him and don't let him touch yours. Yes, I would agree with that too. Well, yeah.
Actually, let the child buy his own computer after breaking that one.
That's right. But anyway, it was all good. It was all good. So there you go. Look, I had another. Did I have another malware story? I might not have. But anyway, let's see what Will's found interesting this week. What did you find interesting, Will? William?
We know it's Back to the Future week and all that.
Oh yes, of course.
Yes, and was it yesterday? Was the day that they came to the future?
Yes.
And things.
And I think the USA Today paper put a cover on of because when Marty and the Doc went to the future, they looked at the paper and it had whatever was written on it, and I think the USA Today did a front page wraparound of that particular story, the look.
Yep. And don't forget too that also they predicted Princess Diana's death as well.
Oh, they did not.
What?
They did. Did you read that paper clipping back?
No.
Coming out?
No.
I won't find it while I'm talking, but yeah, they said in there that she was killed by paparazzi.
Yeah, right. Well, that would have been just very coincidental. But I don't
believe in coincidences.
Don't you?
No.
Why not?
Because they don't exist.
That's a coincidence. I think they do.
Coincidentally, I disagree with you.
So if I have a look here quickly, I'll see if this is a high res. Some of those aren't high res enough for this to work. Let's just have a quick look here and see. Never go to an American website when you're trying to wait for a picture to load, I'll tell you that. Here we go.
We're getting there.
Yeah, it's here we go. Okay, so let me just flick over to this one. And you can see here, Queen Diana will, and then there it's hard to see on this one here, actually. But it talks about Queen Diana's death.
Yeah, right. Wow. Wow. Well, anyway.
There's been a lot of talk over the last, what, day, I guess. Well, 48 hours, I suppose, if you started the whole thing in Australia and follow it through right through the American sort of timeline.
And I think I saw that Nike have given Michael J. Fox a pair of self-do-up, lace-up shoes?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that have been pretty cool. One was where they got together, they got Doc and Marty back together and talked about the current, like what they got right and what they got wrong.
And I've seen that there's been comparisons between Doc and being a Time Lord. And all this sort of stuff, which does fit in with the story.
That was hilarious, that one.
Yes, that did fit in with the story. But all right, so what are you looking something up, Will, or are we moving on?
Yeah, I was actually I was trying to find something, but when you switched over to me, but I'll quickly try and find this clip and then I'll come back to it.
Yeah, all right. What have you found, Eric, this week that tickled your fancy?
Well, I found a few things this week, not necessarily tickled anything, but I did find a story. Where are you? You stole my story a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Telstra, but you can talk about that one. Tesla Powerwall, home battery, yes, coming to Australia within months.
Oh.
End of the year, apparently. But my question is, I was just reading up about this, and what they were talking about here is that it charges, the battery gets charged from a solar panel, and then it's used during peak periods,
yep,
so you don't use electricity. Okay, that's fine. I thought that you could use this also to charge the battery from normal electricity at off-peak periods and to use at peak periods.
You might be able to.
You can.
That would appeal to me because I don't like solar panels. I think they're gay.
Right.
In a happy sense.
The concept is that you produce extra power during the day when you're not at home, so you charge up the battery bank, and then of a night when you're using it during peak times like cooking and showering with the hot water system and stuff like that, it releases the energy that you stored up during the day.
Well, if that works that way, if it charges, for example, while I'm asleep, if it's charging, perfect.
Well, no, it charges during the day while you're on solar. There's no point using power from the grid to charge power to put back into the grid.
No, but if it's charging when it's off-peak power, which is late at night, it's still cheaper than during the day.
Yeah, but how much do you use during the day?
Quite a bit.
Well,
especially on weekends.
I read that Tesla is going to be basing itself in Australia.
Their head office.
Well, they've already got one down in Sydney.
It's not a head office.
Basing themselves here, but what they're doing is they're having a big leapfrog here. They've got a massive big production in the States for the batteries and cars, but Australia's going to be the first country to receive this Powerwall. It's going to be roughly a 10 kilowatt unit will be about $6,000. Now, there is another company who, off the top of my head, who is an Australian company who is releasing something similar. The problem is theirs is a 6,000 or a 6 kilowatt system, and theirs is going to be $10,000.
Yeah, well, so, I know which one I'll be buying then.
But it's a huge step if we actually get this, then for Australia, it's going to be massive to get this sort of thing because there are currently a lot of people who have 2 or 3 kilowatt systems and really aren't noticing any change in their bill. And that's because when they're at home during the day, they're not using the power that they're creating. They're only using the power of a night when they're not producing power. So if you have this set up correctly, you'll be releasing that power of a night when you're home. And you can also use these in an off-grid situation as well. So they'll be quite popular. I can see we're actually going to be looking at being a distributor for them.
Yeah, right. Well, that'd be pretty cool.
So when you say basing themselves, Glenn, I thought you were talking about, you know, moving their head off. There's no way they're going to move from Ireland and getting rid of the double debt sandwich to come to this country and pay 30 cents on a dollar.
No, shall I recount that and say they're making a big investment or a big presence?
Big push. That's all right.
Yes, a big presence in Australia.
They're in California at the moment. They've just made the largest battery production facility in the world. So,
I'm going through the solar panel minefield now. I'm pretty much narrowed it down. I've got I'm going to a 5 kilowatt inverter, string inverter, or whatever they call it. And it's going to have about 24 panels. It's going to give me about 6 kilowatts output.
24 panels.
Yeah.
You have to kick out the next door neighbours and use their roof.
if I have to. Now, yeah. So look, it should take a fair chunk of say it should take a fair chunk in my savings.
Before you notice any savings in solar, you need to generate 4 times more than you use. So if you're using 2, you need to be generating 8.
Yes, well, I don't know how many I'm using, but it comes with a little app as well these days. You can see what you're generating and what you're using. So if the gap's too wide, you're generating more than what you're using, you got to turn something on.
No. The theory with this power wall is that you would then store that energy.
That's right, yeah.
The problem at the moment with the way we've been screwed out of the rebates is it's not feasible. You've either got to be producing basically more than you're making.
More than you're using.
Like four times the amount. You've got to be producing like four or five times more so that it makes it feasible to, overnight when you are using power, you have put enough back into the grid that you're offsetting what you've used. If you're only putting in half as much during the day when you're not at home anyway and using any power, well, you're not really making any benefit from it, are you?
No. Well, the thing is, like, pools and stuff, you know, you run your pool through the day, and even with hot water, you're going to run your hot water through the day. And
that's
all this,
right.
And all this sort of stuff. But anyway, yeah, because what sort of was it? Yeah, as you said, it was a bit rude because the last time I had the solar panels, I was getting a 40 cent per kilowatt hour feedback tariff, whatever you call it. But now it's 6 cents. Now, surely, you know, what's 6 cents? Who do you thought, like, that's probably cheaper that they can make the coal electricity for.
So, yeah. I mean, and that's the stupid part about it. But that's why I think these hybrid systems are going to be the thing of the future, because the government screwed the system to the point where it doesn't work anymore. So off-grid is becoming like we are doing a lot of off-grid systems. Like, even in the middle of the city, we're doing off-grid systems now.
So what does off-grid mean, that they don't put back into the grid?
There's no mains power. You're completely off the mains.
And but how many panels is that? That'd be a massive setup.
Not really. How many? You're going to have 12 now.
24.
Well, there you go. Most off-grid systems can be run on 12.
Yeah, but what does that run, like a one-bedroom apartment or something?
No, three-bedroom house with a family. And the only thing you won't run off that is aircon.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll be looking for some aircon as well. I'm going to be using every last watt that I produce. That's the plan.
The thing is, by doing that, you're not going to be saving money. It's going to be costing. Your bill's not going to change.
Well, yes, it will, because I'll be using what I make.
But you won't, because you're still using the vast majority of power overnight.
Through the day, I'm going to use what I make through the day.
Yeah, but you're still using a heap of power overnight.
Yes, that's right. But say...
Because he's not using any during the day, he'll only get billed for his evening ones. Yes. It's still cheaper than using it for 24 hours.
Well, that's right. It's still going to be cheaper. I'll still save.
Yeah, you'll be surprised though. It won't be that much cheaper because everything you do overnight is on off-peak. So
We're going to candles. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
And next week's podcast will be through a tin can and some string.
That's right.
What? We're using Skype again. Have the computer hooked up to a treadmill or something.
Tell you what, your son's going to be fit.
Oh, I'm getting some trees lopped down tomorrow.
And, no, not trees. What are you knocking trees down for? It keeps your house cool. Nah. You lose less electricity. You don't chop trees down.
I'm chopping.
It's in it for the solar, see?
Yeah, I've got to chop them down so I'm getting the sun on the roof. No, they're pushing me fence over.
You can cool the house with the power you're using during the day.
No. Look, we're off track.
Move on. Next story. This whole electricity, greeny, you know, hairy-legged blah, blah, giving me the irrits. Move on.
Surface book.
I found this clip that I was talking about. It only goes for 45 seconds, so we'll quickly play this. It's just for me, it was very nostalgic just to see these two back together again.
We've got 3D movies.
Yeah, we got fingerprint technology.
And those self-tying sneakers.
I'm waiting for those. Dog walking robots.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Can you believe we still have fax machines to still be around?
Yeah, I got a fax machine.
Who do you fax?
I fax the people I fax.
One guy in Ohio has a fax machine. You fax him?
Well, I'll fax you.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. That's good. All right. Now,
Michael J. Fox is starting, the Parkinson's is starting to get the best of him after having it.
He's got the shakes. He's had it for 20 years.
He's in The Good Wife, and apparently he just takes a lot of tablets and stuff. But anyway, he's
actually got his own show at the moment.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Put all that aside, and let's have a think about the Surface Book. The Surface Pro 4 is to launch. Oh,
did they have a launch? Have you got a launch picture? Because I think you did, and there's no one there.
No, that's just a little mock-up-y picture.
Oh, okay. Because there's nobody there.
Well, the store hasn't opened yet. Let me finish the story.
Looks like an Apple store.
Well, that's what they aim for, isn't it? Everyone's aiming for that. Anyway, Microsoft's newly announced Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 will go on sale at the opening in Sydney on the 12th of November. Located in the Westfield Sydney in Pitt Street Mall, the new location is the first Microsoft store outside of North America. The shop will be one of the two largest stores in the world. The other in New York City will open on October 26th. So there you go. So now these Microsoft stores will have a technical help desk. Who knows what they're going to be called?
Will it be something along Genius Bar, like Smarty Pants Bar?
It can't be any worse than the Techsperts.
Arrogance Bar.
Yeah.
Hipster Bar.
Blue Screen Bar. So they're going to have the regardless of device or where it was purchased. So that's going on the Apple site, the Apple path. The combined staff at the Sydney store will speak more than 21 languages. The store is fitted with immersive video walls and a community theatre where customers can learn how to use Microsoft products. As part of the opening, Microsoft is also donating $2 million to several non-profit community groups. So in
I'm non-profit.
Yeah, I don't make a profit.
The way my kids and wife spend money, I'm definitely non-profit.
That's right. I'm making the debt. Now Microsoft looks to be it looks like they're trying to become the Apple, like Samsung has before them and whatever. But this is a bit poor. This part here, it's been inviting customers to line up as early as 10 p.m.
Why would you? Why would you admit to that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you keep that on the down low?
Yes, I don't know whether you'd be wanting to invite them. That's the difference, I suppose. Apple doesn't invite. Microsoft must feel they have to invite. The grand opening ceremony will be kicking off at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday, the 12th of November. So if you're in Sydney,
I guarantee you that most of the people there will be staff members, but not tell anyone they're staff members. It'll be rent a crowd.
Yeah. Oh well, who knows? No. It'll have a good turnout. It'll go all right. Yes, it will.
No, never mind.
It will. Define
the level of a good turnout. Are we talking Apple level turnout? Or are we talking like
Samsung level turnout?
B grade movie at 2 o'clock in the morning sort of turnout. Like what's our level here?
Well, it did
define good turnout.
It did say they're going to offer technical help desk and repairs regardless of device or where it was purchased. So yeah, there's going to be a good turnout.
I'm walking with my Toshiba from 2005. Hey, arrogance breath. Fix that.
No, it's got to be a Microsoft product, doesn't it? Can't be a Toshiba.
Well, you said regardless of brand or device.
No, I said regardless of device or where it was purchased.
Okay, bring in a Zune.
Yes.
What were those phones they had that flipped up? They have that. That was like an N-Gage, like a Microsoft version of an N-Gage.
I know what you mean. Can't think of the name, but it was rubbish.
Yeah, one of those. Bring one of those in. This doesn't work anymore. I can't get
forward. Hey, mate, fix that. Hey, hipster, fix this.
I've got a problem with Windows 2.0.
Can
you help me, please?
Yeah, my pocket can't read anymore.
flick up the DOS screen. Hey, buddy, have a go.
Yeah, my auto accept needs reconfiguring.
Oh,
that's funny.
Oh yes, I need you have what
no,
you
no,
have.
Will my config sys?
Oh yes.
Autoexec.bat and config.sys, the two best files ever made.
That's right.
All right.
Run.
Command.
What was it?
Run DLL.
Press any key.
Run DLL. Something.
No, yeah, auto run on boot and go format /MBR.
Nice.
Oh, master boot record. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It was great. You do it on the computers at school and it was untraceable because through lunch you're using it, playing games and everything. You quickly duck into the auto accept bat, format /MBR, exit save, keep using the computer, it's all good. Go home that night, turn it off.
Yeah, when they reboot in the morning. Hipster, fix this, hipster. Yes, get out. You'll dig down deep. I'll have to get the floppies out.
Have you got a monochrome monitor we can plug into this?
Yeah, a 4x4 green screen monitor.
I actually had a really weird monochrome on, and I think I've still got it somewhere. It actually was four different colours. You could press the button, and it would go from green to orange to grey.
Yeah, I had one of those. Yep, I had one of those.
It was four monochrome.
Yeah, 14-inch.
Yeah. Big, heavy bastard it was.
Hideous, yeah. Big, heavy molar.
What about the size?
Good doorstop, you know. Good doorstop in a cyclone, that thing.
What about the size of the hard drives in those IBM XT computers?
The MF. MF. Oh,
like, I don't know, they were heavy as. You could hardly lift those little IBM, those IBM machines up.
Yeah, well, the 5 meg hard drive weighed 27 ton.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Rubbish. Still rubbish. Good luck, Microsoft, by the way.
Yeah, so there you go. I wonder if they are going to put a year limit on these things. But it'd be funny if someone did bring a Zune in. That's the call. Oh,
bring
in
a Zune.
That's funny.
Hey, hipster, I can't squirt any longer.
Yeah, I know, right? Wasn't that the best thing ever?
Oh, what an idiotic bloody phrase.
Now, Kogan re-enters the telco space. They've remember that a couple of years ago they got shut down. Well, they signed up with, someone ISP1 or something who went broke or something, who were in bed with Telstra. But anyway, Kogan, they lost their deal with all that. They've been out in the wilderness for a couple of, since 2013 apparently, and now they're signed back up again with Vodafone.
So hopefully Vodafone will be next to the go broke then.
I don't know. Well, didn't TPG just go with Vodafone?
Oh, they did. You're right. They did stop this. Very good.
Yeah, so Vodafone might be on the comeback.
On the rise. But again, it's a balancing act, isn't it? Because at the moment you get good coverage of Vodafone because no one's on it. But now they're signing up TPG and they've got a lot of customers. Mm. And now Kogan. And suddenly we might be back to 2011 where you can't get on.
Well, yeah. Well, look, I know of at least one person that didn't stay with TPG because of that deal.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, I thought it was a bit strange. But anyway, they said no.
Look, it's a balancing act. They've got to make sure they keep on top of it and make sure that they roll out enough towers to keep up with the pace of the growth, which is what they didn't do last time. They took advantage of the fact that people were signing up but didn't actually, you know, it was like inviting three people over for dinner and only having enough food for three people, but then 20 people show up, but I'm not cooking anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You got to share it around.
You got to share it around, and so everyone gets a pee.
It's kind of worse than that for Vodafone, because when Vodafone bought three, they had the three towers, and they had the Vodafone towers.
That's
and then
right.
When they merged, they shut down the three towers.
Three towers, exactly.
Actually had the infrastructure in place.
Yeah, and I think they sold. They didn't shut them down. They sold them off to Telstra, and then rented them back off Telstra at a much higher rate than what they sold them for.
Oh, good work, Alan Bond.
Yeah, all right. Good stuff.
Now, look, I've got a little graphic here for those who are on the video. That's only just the pricing and plan graphic. But anyway,
good prices, no doubt about it. Are they 4G?
No, they're 3G. That's crap. That's why it's crap. So they began offering unlimited national calls, text, and 3 gigabyte of data for $29.90 for 30 days.
But is it three? It's 3G.
Yes.
It does not. Ah, that's rubbish.
Yeah. Kogan is offering 30, 90, and 365 day prepaid plans, costing $299.90 for a year. There's also a Kogan Mobile 5XL option with unlimited standard national calls and text and 5 gig of data within Australia for $36.90 for 30 days or $369.90 per year.
Look, that's a rubbish deal because on 3G, you're never going to go through that much data because you just get fed up. You think, oh, bugger, it's too slow.
3G is not too bad. That's all right.
Rubbish, mate. You get 4GX, which is what you're getting now on your Telstra iPhone 6S.
Mm.
Right, you'd be hooking into Telstra's 4GX, which is lightning fast.
You can also earn frequent flyer points for every dollar spent with the Kogan Mobile, and Kogan Mobile does not offer 4G, unlike other rivals such as Amaysim. Amaysim recently launched $24.90 unlimited plan, offering 4G via Optus, gig of data a month. Well, that's going to be chewed up in 2 seconds.
Yep.
So anyway, that's those. And just as a side note, Coles is selling $10 for 10 days. That's crap.
That's rubbish.
Prepaid plan offering unlimited national calls and text, 400 meg on Optus 4G Plus network. Coles is also...
And 12 cents per megabyte of data, you'd go for $120, no problem.
Hmm. Yeah, and Woolworths is reselling Telstra 3G, $30. So look, everyone looks like everyone's trying to get out there into the space.
We should jump on this. Aussie Tech Heads 4G.
We've actually just switched to AmiSim at work for some of our basic work phones. I just did a quick speed test then. This is on standard Telstra 4G, 100 meg down and 36 meg up.
Yeah, I'm just doing that mine now. Same thing. I've got two bars on iPhone 6, Telstra 4G. Two bars, mind you, 73 down on two bars.
Mm. Well, but we switched to AmiSim because they do for normal voice call, they do a pay-as-you-talk. So you literally, and it can be prepaid or postpaid, and it's 12 cents a minute flat rate. So if you do a lot of receiving of calls, that's fantastic. And they have unlimited plans on, or not unlimited, like data plans. 1 gig's $10, and 10 gigs $100, which is pretty nice. Like, and includes unlimited phone calls.
Yeah, that's like Telstra's 1 gig for $10, which is pretty reasonable for Telstra.
I'm in a bit of a hole here, and I've got one bar.
Right.
And I got 24 down, getting maybe 10 up.
Yeah, that's pretty, on one bar, that's pretty good.
Well, it's better than most people's ADSL, isn't it?
If you had five bars, times that by five. That's your theoretical speed.
Mm. Yeah, so that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But we actually had a TPG phone at work, but we, now the NBN's come, we've ditched the TPG for the NBN as well because they only do direct deposit. So we've ditched them for that. We're actually using, remember Commando phone systems?
Yeah. I've heard bad things about them.
Well, they're a tier one provider for the NBN now. So
I hope their equipment's good.
Yeah, it is.
Now, nice segue into the NBN. I've got a story about NBN. They've I don't know if you saw this during the week. They have revealed their 3-year rollout plan, and if you type in your address, it'll tell you exactly when you're going to get it.
Oh, here we go.
Apparently, I still have
it. Hey? All right.
You already got it, Will.
I still don't have it.
Yeah, according to you.
NBNco.com.au?
Go to my NBO. Yeah, no. Just go NBNco. See my graphic there? There's a little link underneath my graphic on the notes, show notes.
Oh, they're all the way down the bottom.
Down the bottom. Go down the bottom.
Yeah.
So, right, Jacob.
Yeah.
Just there, NBNco, learn about blah, blah, 3-year connect. Just click on that.
All right, here we go.
Type in your current address. Don't tell the viewers what that address is. Nor show them.
Where do you type it in?
Welcome
that?
To my bills.
I got the story. Okay,
download the PDF file and then type in your suburb. Actually, there is actually a map as well. I don't know why it's only showing you. Oh, check your address. There you go. If don't download it, just check your address.
Check your address. Okay, that's better. I can see that one easier.
Yeah. Right. Check your address.
Check your address. Okay.
Yeah, here we go. We're typing this now.
Oh, hang on. I've got to do feedback first. NBN would appreciate your feedback.
No. Close.
Right. Check home. Here we go. Here we go. When will I be NBN'd? Oh, register with us and we'll be in touch when you're...
I did it the other day. Actually, mate, that might be on the PDF, the date. If you download the date, that PDF. Sorry, viewers, but this is really boring.
That's it. That's the look. I'll tell you, this NBN site changes. That's the only thing that happens on the NBN Co.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
The web page. Yeah, the web page changes. That's the only thing that's happening. Okay. Anyway, that's what's going on. Well, I don't know if I can. Oh yeah. Look, there we go. Look. This is what we're doing. But, yeah, nothing's happening for me.
Wow, they've actually updated.
I will search for Rabina. Oops, sorry. So they're on your suburb.
That's all right.
There you go.
Okay. First quarter 2017.
This is just down the road from me, all right? This way a bit further, but this is just down the road. There's an entire packet of nope. And then there's just these, like, 8 streets where if you leave, you can get the NBN.
Are they new apartments? They must be.
That's... Greenfield. Hang on. Let me see where that actually is. That is... No, that's actually a new industrial estate.
There you go. It's whatever it was. It's new. So there you go, Glenn. The first quarter,
2017,
and you'll be getting fibre to the node if you want it.
No, won't I be getting the HFC hybrid?
It says on this fibre to the node.
Okay, cool.
There's three matches. Hang on, there's three matches.
We'll take that.
Hang on, Rabina. I think you've got a choice: fixed wireless, fibre to the node, and HFC as well.
Fibre to the node.
Yeah, I'll take whatever's faster. All right, that's good. Well, I told you to be here before the Commonwealth Games.
And I am getting HFC the year after you.
Oh, okay, right. So you're only getting the HFC,
yeah.
But I'm getting a choice.
Yes, but they're also tweaking HFC, bringing out DOCSIS 3.1, and they're going to give 1 gigabit speeds on HFC.
Well, what about up? What about up speeds?
Up will be 400.
Oh, that's what we want. That's what we want. All right.
Interesting. Here's Brisbane CBD. So apparently if you live anywhere in Brisbane, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Not good.
There's one little bit there and well, whoops.
Good luck with the Commonwealth Games. That's
what I can say. So what's that? The blue is where you can get it. Yeah. Went through the whole city, that big blue thing, big blue line.
I did something and it went away.
Oh, that was the river. Okay.
There's nothing. There's just a massive, blocks of nothingness anywhere.
All right. Will, what's going on? What else is going on?
We did a story, I vaguely remember doing it last year or the year before, on the global seed vault in the Arctic archipelago. In Syria, and basically the concept was that it's permafrost, basically, so let's build a vault there, fill it full of seeds, and when the world explodes, we've got seeds. But about in the last couple of weeks, scientists have actually started taking the seeds out because of the conflict that's happening in Syria at the moment. They're afraid that this is going to be sort of a midway point, you know, for the battle. So they've all these 38,000 seeds that they had in there. They've taken. There was 860,000 samples of seeds. So far, they've taken out 38,000. So they've just gone. Spent the last when they 2008. They actually sealed it.
Yeah, right.
So it's been sealed.
Why'd they keep it there?
Permafrost.
In Syria?
Yeah.
Why did they keep it in Syria? Of all the places in the world, Switzerland, somewhere safe?
All the neutral countries.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I know. So it's like...
it's like putting a Catholic church in the middle of Saudi Arabia.
Basically, because it's minus 18 degrees. That's pretty much all year round, so that's why they did it.
It's in Syria, 18 degrees. It's in the Middle East.
Minus 18.
That's impossible.
Minus 18 in Syria?
Yes. Well, no. It's the... Yeah. It's in Syria, in the mountain range.
Yeah, right.
No way.
That's a bit cold.
It's in the Middle East. There's no way it gets that hot.
After scientists cease full operations at leading gene bank, the International Center for Agricultural Research... in Alpaco, Syria.
Yeah, right.
What's it called? How do you spell that?
Aleppo. A-L-E-P-P-O.
A-L-E-P-P-O. Aleppo, Syria.
Yep.
Right, yeah. My browser's a bit slow today.
So. There's a picture of it. I can show you a picture right there.
Yeah, right, that is cold.
Yep. And there's the front door.
Right. Well, there might be some ice warriors in there. Don't go opening that thing up too hard.
That's what the article says. I always thought it was Norway, to be honest, but according to this article, there is one in Norway. I know there is because I was reading about it, but unless they've got another part of it, there, I don't know. This entire article is talking about Syria, so that's what I was trying to say. Is I found quite surprising They're just saying, yeah, the from around the infantry see it's sourced from around the Middle East, blah 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 blah. So I don't know.
Interesting. Well, no. What did you find in your browser, Eri?
Nothing. My browser's crashed.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Move on.
Glenn had that problem before.
I did. Oh, look, just before I started the show, my computer froze. Just like that. Anyway, Telstra's... Oh, the Telstra Roku device is on its way. $109. So that's not bad. Same as the Apple TV. Its broadband customers get exclusive access to the video on demand streaming device when it goes on sale on October 27, Eric, for $109.
Not bad.
Who are you with now, Will? Are you Telstra or Optus or what?
Optus now with the NBN. Right. Well, I have been with Optus the whole time. I just switched from cable to NBN. Interesting tidbit. Once I finally got my internet actually working, my cable was still working for an extended period of time. I'm like, what's going on here? And so I had cable and NBN for a few months.
Right.
And I finally wrote, hey, my home phone's not working. Why? What's going on? And they went, oh, I don't know. We'll sort it out. So anyway, they figured out that my cable was still connected and that was messing up my phone line. So they disconnected the cable, which of course is fine because I wasn't using it anyway.
And your electricity went off.
Yeah. And then they said, oh, yeah, your phone's right. Picked up the phone. Oh, yeah, dial tone, all good. Tried to actually use it and nothing
didn't work. You've got Maxwell Smart on the other end.
And anyway, so I rang them up and said, what's going on? And after the best part of 3 months, they've gone, oh, nobody's bothered to assign you a phone number. Here you go.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. How are you going with your mobile? Are you still 4G and away?
I'm on NBN at the moment.
Right. I don't understand. But anyway, getting back to the...
My entire bill for the NBN, the unlimited data on the maximum speed plan with the Fetch TV, according to my last bill, was $36.
Sweet.
You're going to get bill shock one of these days.
You will get bill shock. You're going to have to bloody borrow money. Anyway, the Telstra streaming device. I don't know. Who's going to get one? You going to get one, Eric?
I'm thinking about it. Yep. But I've got that many devices at the moment that are just coming out of my ring ring. So
don't use.
Oh, I'm going to get it
I use them, but I'm thinking, do I need another one?
Yeah, we'll see. With the Apple TV, the new Apple TV coming out, you're going to be able to put apps on it and stuff. Interesting.
Well, you can play games on it too.
Well, supposedly, that's right. Look, do we know when that's coming out? Can you look at that,
Eric? I'll look at that. I'll research that.
Okay, please. And also the maxi pad.
Yes, okay.
So, and I'll finish off on this story. So, yes, so anyway, the little Roku box rebranded Telstra TV service is going to launch with 15 video streaming apps, including Netflix, Presto and Stan. So it's all... Stan, why name it Stan? But anyway, he's been there now for a while. Users can only purchase a device from Telstra's retail and online stores if they have a Telstra account ID. Customers who purchase Telstra TV before Christmas will receive a 3-month subscription to Stan and Presto. Jeez, if I did that, that'd be on the back of a 6-month Presto deal that I've just coming off.
Just all you got to do is. Just if you want the free trial constantly, just keep giving a new email address.
Don't they go by credit card?
No. I don't put in my credit card on a trial.
Not on trial, no.
Oh, don't you?
No.
Same as Foxtel's the same because I just signed up for the 2-week Foxtel online thing, Foxtel Play or whatever it was. The Bathurst last weekend. So I need to watch that on – and actually it's really neat on Foxtel. On TV, they go to an ad break. On Foxtel, they go on ad break, but they still play the race in the lower third.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Signed up to the 2-week free trial on that with no credit card, so you just need a different email address on that as well.
Yeah, right. Anyway, now just for a bit of information, if you didn't know, Telstra and News Corp are behind the TV network Foxtel, obviously, which is 50% owner of Presto and with 7 West Media, and rival streaming service Stan is a joint venture of 9 Entertainment and Fairfax Media. Telstra TV replaces the T-Box. This is the thing. The Telstra T-Box, that's a beautiful little device. I like the T-Box. It's got a hard...
But it's big.
Hey?
but it's big.
But you can record TV on it?
That's true.
It's a good little device.
Fetch boxes are the same. Optus, they're all the same.
But you can't watch free-to-air on this Telstra thing, can you? That's coming out?
You can on the Optus one.
Well, I don't know about this thing.
You can on the old T-Box.
Yeah, the T, that's right. But I don't know if you can do it on this new Telstra thing that's coming out, Roku Telstra.
Who wants that?
Free-to-air. All the footy's going to be on it next year or 2 years.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's the point of not being able to record on it if you can't watch? Like,
yeah. Well, you see, Channel 7 are going to, next year, I think, no, 1st of December, they are going to be streaming their free-to-air channels. So, there.
So there.
So I knew you'd be excited about that. But that's good. Like, and if look, that Nine jump in, I'll tell you, that's got to be the worst one of those catch-up services that are out there. There must be about 3 to 4 minutes of ads in each break of the show on the jump in, on the catch-up. They're just wasting my time. Anyway.
Your own fault for not using Adblock, by the way.
No, that's not going to stop the streaming app from ads, does it?
They're not part of the show. They're slotted in, so whoever pays the most money can get their own ad.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yep.
So that's not like...
They're not hard-coded in, no. They're not part of the video. They're HTML5 overlays.
Yes, right. Okay. Okay, so Telstra discontinued the T-Box on September 2, but will continue to support existing customers. I will. Thank you. All right, what else, Will?
WikiLeaks releases the TPP agreement, which gives you more rights to film studios over copyright. So we're talking a while ago about the Dallas Buyers Club were trying to sue everybody for downloading it.
That's because no one's downloaded it.
According to a leaked version of the highly secretive Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, the TPPD, rights holders of such Hollywood studios could soon be able to sue you for lots of money. WikiLeaks posted what it says is a leaked version of the agreement that would not only force internet service providers to hand over the details of illegal downloaders to the big studios, but will also be required to keep track of persistent pirates and dob them in. More alarmingly, the TPP document says that it wants all countries signed up to the deal to basically change their laws to make it easier for the studios to take copyright infringers to court. Just how much a person will be liable, the document says, would depend on the nature of the infringement, with pre-established damages framework to be put in place, and one that would be significant to compensate the right holders for the harm caused by the infringement, and with a view to deterring future infringements. That's like saying, here, have a $1,000 ticket for speeding and don't do it again, or ever.
What?
Even though you didn't do it the first time.
But what harm? Disney,
the makers of the Oscar award-winning film Dallas Buyers Club took the Australian ISPs, IINet, Dodo, Internode, Mnet, Atom Internet, and Wideband. Notice there's no actual like Telstra or Optus in there.
Wideband.
Seeking the names and addresses of 4,700 Australians who allegedly infringed copyright by sharing the film. Really? 4,700 people watched the battle?
Oh, add a couple of zeros, what, don't you?
However, their case was dealt major blow in Australia in August when federal court judge Justice Nye Param, this guy's really good, we've got to get behind him, support him, refused to order the release of the customers' names and addresses unless they changed their claim. Justice Param found the DBC's proposal to charge those who shared the film's thousands of dollars. What? Justin Prem's found the proposal to charge those who shared the film thousands of dollars in licensing fees went beyond the scope of being unattainable.
Well, that's untenable. Right. As you said before, what was the damage? What was the damage caused by an individual? If you download and watch a movie, what is the damage? Well, it's one. You are one person.
Well, he did find the company could be entitled to the cost of renting or buying the film and for costs associated with finding the name of an alleged downloader.
Yeah.
In order to ensure the company would not overstep its mark, he also stipulated that the stay on the release of the details would only be dropped if the DBC agreed to a $600,000 bond, which it would lose if it breached court orders.
Mm.
Under the leaked TPP agreement, damages sought by copyright holders in Australian court could be much higher. The document also says ISPs would bear the cost of tracking down identifying alleged pirates, saying they would expeditiously remove or disable access to material residing on the networks or systems. So basically, at the moment, this story goes on for quite a bit more, but basically at the moment, they need to be, you know, as this guy said, if you want to sue them, fine. What would it cost to hire it? $4? No worries. There you go. You can have your $4.
Yes.
That's the way the system works at the moment. With this, yeah. with this new TPP agreement they're trying to put in, not only would they go, hey, you owe me $100,000 and you owe me $100,000 and you owe me $100,000, they would also say that the ISP now has to track my usage and the ISP is responsible for telling them when I do something wrong.
Yeah, right. But how are they going to know?
Well, what? Yeah. But that's the thing. The ISP has to track that and they have to store all that data. And the ISPs are going to go, no. So
we're already storing data
under the new code. Suspected of illegally downloading content would hit with a series of escalating infringement notices from ISPs. After the first breach, a customer would be emailed a standardized education notice. If they continue to breach, they'd be sent a warning notice followed by a final notice. It's only notices. That's fine. The ISP planned to detect illegal downloads through customers' IP addresses and then send warning letters to the account holders. The email must be sent within 7 days. Blah blah blah. So basically, if this goes through, then you, it's going to be the three strikes rule, basically.
Yeah, but look, it's I forgot my train of thought. But yeah, look, it's not like the difference between the movies and that. Remember the song thing, the Kazaa thing. Jamie Thomas was her name in the US quite a little while ago. Yeah, she was actually seeding out, and I suppose torrents to a certain degree do seed
automatically.
Yes.
Unless you had to set them up, they'll do it by automatic.
But how can you prove? Like, see, some of the times, like, you wouldn't seed the whole movie. You wouldn't seed half the movie. So you're not really sharing the movie.
You're sharing 10% of it or something.
Yeah, fair use.
Yeah.
You, some would argue. I think if they want to go after you for the rent, the cost of the rental or the purchase of the movie, maybe a couple extra bucks to, you know, determine what it costs to come and find you, I think that's probably a fair thing to do. But look, as you know, you can find most of these things streaming for free anyway. You don't have to download them or torrent them. So, you know. All right. YouTube speakers.
Update on Apple TV.
Yes.
October 25 or 26. Pre-order. Yes. It'll be delivered a week later.
Are you in?
I could be. I'll see.
Well, yeah, it's $350, isn't it?
$200.
Aussie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
$200 Aussie. So that's for the 32 gig version. 64 gig will come in at $280. It's not bad.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. It's completely impossible on short notice to find any movie anywhere. You couldn't possibly do it. Like, the internet's so secure and so, you know, uninfallible.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what they're talking about.
No. No. What'd you got there, Will?
Seriously? I have to tell you what I've got there?
Yeah, I don't watch many movies.
Stuffy, I'm not. If you don't recognise that, I'm not.
No, that's the Back to the Future when he stole the plutonium.
Well, it was 20 years ago when I watched it or something.
That's not an excuse.
Give me a break.
You can watch a Doctor Who episode once and memorise it word for word.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't recognise the opening scene to Back to the Future.
Put a Doctor Who on. We'll be right. Now, when's the iPad Pro coming?
Apparently in November, but right. No dates are finalised yet.
Are you in for that one?
I'll be definitely in for that one.
Oh, yeah. Why? What's the attraction? And
what I told you what the attraction is.
It's large.
Yeah, and it won't remain on my floor in a box.
Mm.
Lock your items.
Now, like my...
What have you got on your floor, Glenn? I got my... a new show. What's on Glenn's floor?
I got my PayPal still in the box.
What the hell is that? PayPal. That's still there.
That's still in the box. Uncharged. Unloved. Anyway, YouTube is to launch a subscription service. It's only going to be in the US at the moment, but it's got YouTube Red. Are they for real? Why would they want to call it YouTube Red? Haven't they not heard of RedTube?
Are they communists?
But anyway, YouTube Red's going to cost US $9.99 a month. Have no adverts. Oh, well, whoopee-doo. Put up with 30 seconds for an ad at the start and bloody get over it.
No, yeah, it's exactly. Not quite like that. It's a bit... anyway, read your story.
So anyway, original shows. Going to have original shows from various people. Scare PewDiePie. A reality adventure series as Felix reacts to situations inspired by his favourite games. Sing It, a comedy that satires talent competitions. And it goes on. Laser Team, a movie. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah.
You know PewDiePie is one of the biggest dropkicks on YouTube. Shut up. He just happened to be there at the time that YouTube sort of started and he got popular doing it. He has some ridiculous amount of millions of followers, and all of his videos, and I'll show you the quality of them, like their reaction videos, their just absolutely crap videos. They're usually 3 to 4 minutes long, and every single one of his video has at least 2 million views, if not more.
Yeah, right. PewDiePie.
Biggest load of crap you'll come across on YouTube.
Oh, no, there's a lot out there. There's a lot of crap
on YouTube.
And he makes most of it.
Yeah. Did you have any other stories tonight, this week, Eric?
Well, I had the Telstra one as well, but you covered that pretty well.
Oh, yep.
The thing with the YouTube, though, the reason it's there, and I was listening, if you want to find out more about it, I was listening to Kurt J. Mack. He was talking about it on his second channel, which is Kurt Indeed. He was talking about on there, and what it basically is, it's an incentive to the producers to produce higher level content so that people subscribe, because what's currently happening is you can make videos for free, you do get revenue, ad revenue off it and things like that, but the way this works, if you're one of the paid subscribers and you subscribe to that channel as a paid subscriber, they actually get a percentage of your subscription fee. So, because the average person has about 50 people they're subscribed to. That's the sort of the average.
Right.
So they figure if they're charging you $10 a month, let's say YouTube gets 50% of that straight up, and the other 50% is distributed between your 50 subscribers. So basically they get 10 cents each. Which doesn't sound like much, but if you're some of the bigger channels, whether it be Generic B or B00 or Doc M or any of those guys who have got over 1 million subs, well, that adds up, doesn't it? You're only getting 5 cents a sub, but you got over 1 million subs.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And that's what it's all about. It's not the amount per person, but it's the once you add it all up, that's right.
It's the cumulative effect. I mean, the thing is, it kind of works back to front, because a lot of people think, oh, you know, he's got 1 million subscribers and all his videos gets 50,000 hits. Well, obviously PewDiePie is the exception where he's got, you know, 100 million subscribers and all his videos get over, you know, a few million. But the average YouTuber sort of gets, you know, in the thousands, like around 50,000 hits on a high-end video. And the thing is, they get paid less per ad that they see and people watch, they get paid less per view than somebody who's only got 100 views. So the scaling's out of whack at the moment.
Yeah, right. Yes.
It equalises that playing field.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, there we go. We're all that little bit wiser. Now, look, before I go, I've got to tell you another story about Apple Music Experience. Oh, my God, that is useless.
Just sit back and relax. And
you can't relax.
Put your feet up and just...
Not when you're using Apple Music. When I got the phone, right, Telstra gave me 2 years, right? 2 years.
Because they know after that you're not going to buy it.
Of Apple Music for free, right? So I'm sitting here and I chuck on Spotify. You know, I thought to myself, you know what? No. I'm going to tune in Apple Music. I'm going to create a few playlists or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So it is just so... poxy, like
it is. It's very, very bad. For some, Apple is the worst written software that they've got. It is awful.
But like, just to navigate around to search for a song, like if you want to play like 80s, right? You can't, like Spotify. You just search for 80s. Someone's made up an 80s playlist, so away you go, and you play your 80s playlist. But on iTunes, it's like, there is only one 80s playlist, and that's what Apple has made. And that's it.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is it.
You can't make your own playlist. That's right.
You can make your own playlist, but then it's just not the same. It's so hard, and I don't like it. I think it's pus, and it just goes to show that over the last couple of years, they bought the Apple Watch, pus. They've got this Apple Music, pus. What is going on?
Pus.
we'll wait until we see what the Apple TV's doing. But
oh God, that might be pus.
Well, for the last, when's the Apple TV version 3 out? Well, when did Apple TV first come out? From when it first came out, say up until now, before the release of the new version, it's been pus.
No, they haven't.
It hasn't been that bad.
Hasn't been that bad. Apple TV hasn't been that bad.
Well, look, you can only use it for not too many things. Remember, even a year ago.
If you just want to watch movies on it, it's fine. It's perfect.
Right? Yeah, but you want to do other things.
If you want to do other things, yeah, it's pus. But I didn't even want to watch movies on it.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I don't know. What does Apple need to do, in my opinion? I don't know. They've probably got to concentrate on what they
need. Bring back Steve Jobs. That's what they need to do.
I reckon they should ring up Woz and get him just not as a, you know, board of directors or something, but maybe just as the father.
The ideas man.
Yeah, or just the inspiration. He's there. The founder's back on board. We haven't got Steve anymore. We've got, the other Steve. But, do something.
Just entice him with a couple of apple pies or something.
Yes. Oh, that reminds me. Did you see that YouTube video of the, or Facebook or whatever, the lady going up the escalator, the clown coming down?
No, as they pass,
the clown chucks.
Oh, that was hilarious!
The clown chucks a pie in her face.
She tries to turn around and run after him,
and he's waiting at the bottom and chucks another pie in her face.
Was it a setup? Could have been a setup.
Oh, I don't know. She looked pretty angry. She did look angry. She's trying to run down the up, and then she's trying to go down. She's coming down the down, but he's going up the up, and then another pie goes in her face. She's covered in all this cream. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. All right. Did you have any more, Will?
No, not really. There's been not a heck of a lot of anything interesting, really.
As you could probably tell from all the stories tonight, the unofficial stories, the personal stories. But look, let me tell you about the Aussie Tech Radio. You can have a listen to that at aussietechradio.com. You can tune it in on your Shoutcast phone app if you want to. And it's just a little collection of Australia and New Zealand tech podcasts, and they just run 24/7, wall to wall, back to back. Tune in, new shows every Friday. Also, don't forget to like us on the Facebook at facebook.com/AussieTechEds and youtube.com/AussieTechEds. And the show notes are at AussieTechEds.com.au/show notes. Don't forget the Aussie Mac Zone, the Obsidian Loft, and Old Fart Geeks, and the Aussie Tech Security episode 3 coming soon. So I hope you enjoy that Aussie Tech Security. Smart cookie, that, Roger. He'll tell you how to secure up your network and your system.
Oh, viruses, Stevie.
No, he's more subdued than that. He's just tells you how it is, straight hard.
I think, what's his name? What's his name, the security guy from Twitter? What's his name again?
Yeah.
Jobs.
Gibson.
Gibson.
Yeah.
He just recently, I think last year, upgraded to Windows 7.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I'm not going to Windows 7. Too many holes.
Has he turned Java on his browsers and stuff?
No, nothing.
No, he doesn't.
And for a while there, he wasn't even connected to a network because he was just too scared.
But I mean,
yeah, wouldn't he have like one BlackBerry that he used to carry around for his emails or something?
Yeah, because it was secure.
Mm. Oh dear,
the guy's paranoid. He should just go in a cave and stay there.
Yeah, he's all right. He's got to listen to. He's smart though.
He's made plenty of money off what he does.
Yeah, and look at that Spinrite software. How good is that?
Paranoia has a price.
Yeah, but like
Spinrite is fantastic software. Man, it does a great job.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It even works on SSDs.
Yeah, now it does.
Yes. Yeah, it's brilliant. If you don't know what Spinrite is, if you've got a bad hard drive that's crashed or your computer won't start up, you can try and at least get it started again by using Spinrite, and then it might, you know, if you are lucky enough to get it started, you just whip the data off straight away. But what it does is it'll go through the disk, track sector, track by track, sector by sector, and it'll try and read each little sector. And if it can, it'll pull the data off and it'll put the data back. Or if that little part is bad, that little sector is bad, it'll pull it off and put it somewhere else. So it's very, very good. It's low level. It gets right. It boots up before Windows boots. It's got its own little boot environment. I think Dr. DOS or PC DOS or something it uses. Something like that. Runs off that.
Yeah, Dr. DOS, I think. DR-DOS, sorry. Call it Dr. DOS. You lose your great cred.
I don't care. It's Dr. DOS.
I know, right? You could put a DR in front of it. Of course it's going to be Dr. DOS.
Yeah. If you call it DR-DOS, what are you? Some sort of nerd?
I think you'll be calling it Linux.
Linux will do me.
Linus.
All right. That's about it for us. Yeah, it's been a bit of a slow news week. So thanks for joining us. And if you made it this far, good on you. Thank you very much. All right. That's it. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Eric, for coming in.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, Will. Thanks for coming in.
May not see Will next week.
Let you know. You'll get some sort of update either way.
Might just be me and Eric.
We'll see. And Warlock. You've got to get Warlock out of his girlfriend.
Yes. Yes, we do. And all the best for this week if it all happens. Hopefully it will go smooth and everything will be fine. I'm sure it will be. All right. Good stuff. Okay. Thanks for the everyone on the Blab who joined us and commented and asked questions. That's great. You can join us live Thursday nights, Queensland time, 7:30, if you want to watch the show getting recorded live and join in the chat in the lounge, if you will. All right. That's it. Until next week. We'll be nearly in November. Bye for now. Ta-da.
See you all.
Bye.
Aussie Tech Ed is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Ed or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.